Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Kevin, and it's Andrew, and this is the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. Coming to you a couple days later than we normally do. That's my fault. I was out of town for a few days on work, but I'm back. We are ready to talk about the week that was. Andrew, how you doing?
Pretty good, Kevin. I think it's okay that you were gone and that we're doing this now, because do you really want to talk about the Texas A&M game or even the Oklahoma game? Not really. What we want to talk about is we want to talk about this K-State game. That's all I want to talk about. That's all I want to talk about with anyone all day.
Yeah, it's a good point. It actually worked out well, because it would have been a lot more, it would have been a whole lot more polka doke and like sadness from OU and then like whatever about A&M. And we're still going to do those two things, but we're going to talk a whole lot more about K-State, because that is way more fun. I totally agree with you.
We're going to talk about some Bruce Weber.
Mm.
We're going to talk about some Sviatoslav. We're going to go back to Bruce Weber. Mostly Bruce Weber is what we're going to talk about today. And Sandstorm. Lots of Sandstorm.
Little Sandstorm.
I will say this. More Sandstorm will be played on this podcast than was played in Bramlage Coliseum last night.
This one's for the K-State fans right here. Andrew, I'm just going to let this run for a second. Before we get into this, I'm pretty sure that the margin of victory, what was it, like 14 points?
14.
Would you say that Sandstorm is about a 14 to 15 point difference in a game?
I don't think it's 14 or 15, but
are you sure?
We've made this comparison in the past. Sandstorm is like, well, okay, before we go on, like, if you're familiar with the Fast and the Furious mythology or lore, if you will, you are familiar with the concept of NOS.
Yes.
And NOS is something you inject into your car, nitrous oxide, to give you a boost right when you need it. And Sandstorm, I think, is that thing, is NOS. You give that shot of energy into the crowd, it gets the whole place jacked up. Sometimes K-State uses it too early, kind of like Paul Walker in the first movie.
Rest in peace.
Sometimes
rest in peace, Paul.
Sometimes they do it just perfectly to put themselves in it at the end of the game. However, didn't even use it last night. Didn't even push the NOS button once. No Sandstorm.
Well, Andrew, little do you know, I've been playing Sandstorm throughout your entire soliloquy there. It has been ongoing for about the past 2 minutes. And I'm going to let it go. I'm holding my finger on this little drop button. I don't know how long this drop is. Apparently, it's pretty long. But we're going to let this go until it stops. But anyway, Andrew, KU comes out of their biggest margin of victory in the Big 12 so far for Kansas. 14-point win. We beat them, Andrew, for the 195th time. 195 times KU has beat K-State in the game of basketball. No team in Division I has defeated another basketball team more than KU has beat Kansas State. How about that?
I love it. I love it. They're two of the oldest teams. They play each other every year consistently and have. And we've destroyed them consistently for over 100 years. So,
all right. I got to make this stop. This is driving me nuts. I got to stop. Okay.
Okay. That's the K-State game. Let's give a little preview on the rest of the stuff. Obviously, we're going to talk about the K-State game, talk about the zone that came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
We're going to recap some other storylines rather than going like line by line with the OU game and the A&M game. We'll talk about some Big 12 and do some go-go power rankers.
Ooh.
And then we'll close with some previews of the games coming up the next couple weeks. And then I think we've got some Hey Beals.
Hey Beal!
We haven't done Hey Beal in a while, so it's probably appropriate to bring it back, right?
Yeah, Hey Beal had a good time at Salty Iguana, I think, after that OU game, taking in some calls. So I think that we're just gonna bring our own little version of that to the Jayhawk Talk podcast here at the end. So if you're not into Hey Beal, you know, it's not to the very end, but seems like every single person that's ever responded is into Hey Beal. So the Hey Beals are coming back.
which I'm very surprised about.
I'm very surprised. It's not great comedy. Like, it's not even great podcasting. But you know what? The point is that we like to make each other
whatever laugh. Works, whatever yeah. works. All right, Kevin, let's jump into the K-State game. As you mentioned, this was a beatdown that set us in the record book. This is the 195th time. And the thing we want to talk about is Sandstorm. And
oh, you want to talk about Sandstorm?
You're doing it again?
I'm doing it again. Sorry.
Okay. Well, this is what we learned. We learned that the new athletic director forbid Sandstorm from being played. And that was probably the difference in the game.
It's the difference in the game. Couldn't agree more. Right? Yeah. Yeah. That's why I said it's a 14 to 15 point swing. Now, had they played it early enough, it wouldn't have been 14 or 15 points, right? Because the Nas would have just amped them up to get back into like neck and neck.
They needed it.
They needed the Nas. They needed something. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't make a shot. Couldn't get past our zone. You know, couldn't stop us from making shots. What do you do in that situation? You turn to the Nas. That's all you got left. You don't turn to Bruce.
Well, Bruce Weber at the end of the game was critical of the home crowd.
How about
critical of his own people. He said, this is quote, "It's a shame the crowd couldn't stay in the game the whole game." Mm-hmm. That's not a, whatever. I wrote that quote down wrong, but you get the gist.
Yep.
First of all, it was packed. They were kind of crazy. I don't think he's legitimate in criticizing the fan base that already hates him. Probably a bad move by Bruce. But you know what? The athletic director under John Curry, let them, you know, play the song and let them, say swear words on national television to embarrass the school. John Curry was willing to pay that price.
That's true.
The new athletic director is not. So we'll see if that returns next year. It probably will, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it is coming back for sure. Like, this won't die. In fact, they'll find another – if it doesn't work, they'll just find another way to do it. But this will be back. It's too rich. Like, and it's been effective to some degree. You can't.
Well, I don't know. It just turns it into a rave. It turns it into a party.
Right.
Which is kind of cool. Like,
that's why they come. Good. Why else do they come? They come to chant.
They come to listen to one techno song that was released in 1998 by Darud.
Darud. That's a fun
okay,
fact.
Okay, Kevin. Let's talk about Bruce Weber a little bit more. Also in the post-game press conference, Bruce Weber said that the referees warned him against the poke-a-doke strategy. He was told that if you just grab him away from the ball, it's going to be a flagrant foul. Now, I doubt the referee said flagrant foul, but everything else that is said by the referee is the rule, is correct. But he said it as if they were somehow conspiring against him.
Yeah, so in the post-game, it sounded like his tone was a little bit of more of like, well, we would have done it, but, you know, here's just another example of the refs giving favor to the Jayhawks. Like, that's what it sort of sounded like, right? I mean, it was not a, you know, boy, this is just part of the game, and we understand it. Like, he was using it as another excuse. And, frankly, I'll concede that Sandstorm is a 14 to 15 point swing, but Poke-a-Doke wasn't going to be a 14 to 15 point swing, and it was
in this game. Yeah, in this game particularly.
It was not going to matter. But the point was...
Doug was in foul trouble. You know, Doug was in foul trouble, and he only played 18 minutes. He didn't play much in the first half at all, and that's when we built our big lead.
Right.
And if they would have tried to do it in the second half, it wouldn't have mattered. They didn't get to the bonus until really late. And he was out of the game at the end when we were up by 14 or 15 in the last few minutes. So I'm not sure when he would have tried to implement it.
It wouldn't have it didn't make sense for this game. Like, it wouldn't have mattered, right?
But he needed some kind of excuse.
But he had to say it. Exactly right. But so he couldn't help himself. He had to go say it. And so my reaction to this, well, two things. One, we've basically already noted it. Like, he's making another excuse, which, like, we need to take Bruce. I like Bruce. I actually hope Bruce stays forever. He's a good basketball coach, and he's good enough to keep them relevant. And, like, generally close to a tournament team, which I like. Like, I don't want them to completely suck. I want to beat them every year. But, like, I don't want them to just fall off the face of the earth. Like, Missouri, I hope they fall off the face of the earth. Like, their team just completely crashes. K-State, I actually want them to be relevant because it's more fun, right? But he needs to go to PR school. Like, we need to get him some talking points. He needs a better SID that's going to come in, like, hand him a piece of paper and say, these are your talking points each post game. And, like, go with this. Do not say anything else. That's not going to happen, which is part of his charm and why I kind of still hope he sticks around. But the second point is, Andrew, let's talk about John Higgins for a minute. Because John Higgins was one of the refs in that game. And I can see John going to Bruce and saying, hey, Bruce, just an FYI, we know this Polkadot thing is out there. Just want to let you know and just keep you posted. We're going to be watching a little bit because it has to be in the flow of the game if you're going to foul him, right? And if you don't, if you're doing something that's totally obscure and you're yanking on his jersey or doing something off in the, you know, off in the corner, we're going to call an intentional. We have to, or call a flagrant one. And like, that's a very fair, respectful, like, I respect the coach, so I'm going to go tell him beforehand thing to do, right? That's a ref that knows the coaches well enough because he sees them every week and has seen them for years to go say that beforehand and just say, hey, you know, you can do it. Just keep it in the flow of the game. Like, I'm sure that's what he said, right? He probably did not come at it like, I'm here to, you know, protect Kansas and protect Doak and blah, 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 blah. You know, like, I don't think that's at all what it was. If you grab him away for the ball, we're going to call it. Am I missing something here? Is that kind of probably how that went down?
That's probably how that went down.
He was doing it out of respect.
Right. And to give Bruce Weber some credit, he was asked the question, you know, did you plan on doing this? But I think that the answer that came out was more of an excuse. And maybe, you know what, this could have been a completely innocent answer, but judging from Bruce Weber's past, including go ask Fran Fraschilla, it's hard to give him the benefit. It's hard to give him the benefit of the doubt with his track record.
Oh, and you can't. Like, you literally can't. Like, that was exactly how he meant it. And the other thing about John Higgins, I think he gets a lot of bad, you know, I think KU fans kind of don't like John. And this part of this deal, like, John is a little bit of, like, a prime timer. Like, he needs to have his TV time. He needs to go check the tape. If someone, you know, gets breathed on and it looks like it's some sort of, like, got punched or something, they got to go check. I get that. Like, and that's part of his charm. I kind of like it a little bit. But the thing about it, he is a ref that Bill Self sees all the time. And Bill Self is one of the best managers of human beings on the planet. And you cannot tell me that Bill Self would rather have some ref that he's never had before over John Higgins. He would love to see all the time because he knows John's how to push him. He knows the buttons. He knows what to say and what not to say. He's effective with it. And John is good enough that, like, he also knows, you know, where to draw the line if Self is doing something he's not. So, like, that familiarity is awesome. Like, that's a good thing. And I think that people, you know, probably give, they give John a little too much flack. Just
right. Well, he's a known quantity. He's a known quantity. Exactly. You know what you're going to get out of him. And I think that's effective for someone who, you know, we rely on consistency. We need to play the same way because we have a certain style. So we know how to adapt. And I think that, you know, Bill Self can say, you know, be watching out for this because this referee. And I think that he's one of those guys. And you know what? He's got the slick back hair, the blonde poofy hair, and he's noticeable and he makes himself noticeable. And so I think that if you're going to hate a referee, he's the one name, you know.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You just know his name, right?
Right.
He used
to be like Ed Hightower. Like, you know, there's a couple guys you would know, and he's just one of those guys.
And I personally, when he's our ref and I see all these people go, like, I'm actually on board. Like, I'm cool with that. You know what I mean? I'm cool with that.
Let's talk about the game for just a little bit.
Yeah.
There was an actual game that was played, not just post-game press conferences and songs that were played in the arena.
Oh, did you say songs?
Oh, God.
Sorry, go ahead.
Is it over? Did you stop it?
Yeah, just quick.
Let's talk about this zone defense. Now, obviously, we didn't do it the whole time, but the times we did implement it, it was very effective. K-State was left struggling to know what to do. They were kind of resorted to taking outside shots, and when they did end up getting into the lane, didn't have anything, didn't produce anything. So my question to you, Kevin, is that judging the effectiveness of this against a pretty good offensive K-State team, is this a thing? Will we see this more in the future, or was this just something we did to mess with K-State this one time?
I think both. I think it is a thing, and I think it was perfect timing for K-State. I mean, this the thing is, we are obviously not deep, right? And the zone is a way to protect, not only, you know, protect Doak from foul trouble and protect from foul trouble generally, it's a way to protect your legs a little bit too. Instead of running around chasing someone on defense, chasing them all over the place, you know, you play a zone, it gives you a little bit more. I mean, it's still matchup, and there's some other things that, I mean, it's still a lot of work, but, and obviously there's art to it, but I think we're pretty good at it, and we're pretty long generally. I mean, when Svi's in the game, he's 6'7", and, you know, Doak kind of in the back line. I actually think this is a thing, and it sounds like they asked him after, asked basically everybody about it. They asked K-State folks, they asked our folks, and I think Devontae said something like, yeah, we practice it every day. We practice the zone every day. And really? And yeah, they said that. And so I think that just the fact that he said that makes it definitely a thing. And you remember that Duke team? What was that? 14? They were terrible.
15, yeah.
They were terrible at defense. They were like the worst defense. And then they switched to zone and they won a national championship. I mean, basically they went, they committed to the zone. They still played man some. But they had that in their pocket, and it actually turned effective. You okay there?
Yeah, I'm good.
About it? I'm good.
I don't have a cough button on this guy.
So, I guess what I'm saying is, like, that could be a thing. I mean, if this team can be just better than average defensively, and we generally are. I mean, even though Bill Self wouldn't say so, like, you look at our numbers, we're decent on defense. But if this team could turn it up a notch and look like they did against K-State, like, that changes everything. And I think it's a thing, Andrew. What about you?
Well, we practice it every day line, I didn't know that. That mm-hmm. definitely takes it up a notch for me. If this is something they're working on, I don't think we'll see it, you know, exclusively zone, but I think that it will bust it out against certain teams.
Sure.
Teams that can't shoot threes, particularly, if we want to, you know, protect or keep people from getting into the lane, which I can think of a couple teams that would be beneficial for. This definitely going to be a thing. And you know what? You got to go with what your personnel dictates. We're pretty long, you know, even though we're guard oriented, you have Sviatoslav, who, you know, I don't know what he plays, the three or the four, but he's pretty long. Same with LeGerald. So you can kind of hide some mistakes that way. You're going to run into a pretty good offensive team that can beat you, but we can adjust back to man and play that well just as easy. So I think it's that versatility that makes it dangerous. Yep. I think one other thing is...
It's another tool.
It's also known that we're going to do this now, so people are going to bring it back to us. One telling thing was Bruce Weber was asked how much they practiced against a KU zone, and his answer was none. Didn't know it was coming.
Yeah, that was pretty clear, too. I mean, they were crossed up, man. Wade is good. Dean Wade is really good at basketball.
I like Dean Wade.
It's hard not to like Dean Wade. I know. It drives me nuts, but I kind of like him too. He had, how many games in a row he's had 20 points? I think he had 18 in this game.
He had 20.
He did have 20? Okay. So he ended up with 20 points for like, six or seven straight games. I guess the point is he was killing us, and we go to zone. And he only scored 7 points in the final 26 minutes of that game. So the zone crossed him up too. Now it was obviously helpful that they could not make a shot, right? They were not shooting well at all from three. That helps a lot. That makes a zone look really good when you can't make a 3-pointer, but that'll happen sometimes. And they were settling for that rather than getting the ball, you know, where they wanted it. So, yeah, you know, that was very effective. Good move by Bill. We talked about Bill learning a lesson from the Polka Doak game. I think and I hope that he learned a lesson on this game about the zone, and that this is obviously going to come back at some point. So we'll see. Andrew, is K-State who we thought they were, or was this just kind of a bad night for them?
I think they're better than what we thought at the beginning of the year. You know, yeah. In the beginning of the year, we thought that K-State was a bottom three Big 12 team. I think they're the fifth or sixth best team in the Big 12.
Tournament team?
Which puts them borderline tournament team.
Yeah, I think so too.
I don't know if they make it. They certainly have some work to do to get in. I don't think it's a lock by any means. But You know, they're going to be in contention. They've got a couple good wins. They play pretty well at home. They, you know, pretty balanced when they have everybody. They have was it Wesley Wundu coming back? Who's coming back?
Stokes.
Oh, come on, Stokes. Wundu was last year. Come on, Stokes coming back from injury. So that's going to be beneficial for them. So, you know, I think this team, I think I saw some bracketology that they were last four in at this point. You know, that would probably be one of the play-in games. I think that's about right. I think they're going to hover around there. They may be an 11 or 12 seed or maybe just out, depending on how things work out. But I think that they're better than what we thought. You know, one thing is this team's going to be pretty salty next year. They bring in everybody back.
Yeah,
everybody will be healthy. No one's going to the NBA. They'll all be mostly seniors. So it'll be pretty salty next year. I think look for them to make a run next year. But this year, you know, if they can get into the tournament, I think that that's a good outcome for them.
So here's what KenPom has to say about, I'll just look at their next four games. They play West Virginia away. That's a loss. They play Texas away. That's probably a loss. They play Texas Tech at home. Maybe a coin flip at best, but potentially a loss. And then they go to Oklahoma State, which is probably a coin flip as well. KenPom's got them losing all four of their next four games. So this is a big stretch for them. They don't want to lose five in a row. They lost Kansas. They lose the next four, and they're probably not on the right side of the bubble, right? They need to win at least one or two of those to remain there. And then they play Iowa State in Texas and close out with Oklahoma and TCU and Baylor. But this little stretch right here, I think, will be really important for them. So we'll be watching that. Andrew, let's move on from the K-State game and Sandstorm, as sad as it is, and talk about some storylines from the past week or so. And this will encompass the OU game, the A&M game, general feelings, thoughts, concerns about the team, etc. We're not really going to go into each game. Rather, we're going to kind of talk about what's going on from the storyline. And Andrew, I'm going to ask you this. How are you feeling about this Kansas Jayhawk team?
I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm feeling pretty good. This team's kind of rounding out. The mistakes that they were making earlier in the year, they're not making anymore. Things are starting to develop a little bit better. Guys are making better decisions, just like we know a Bill Self team does. This looks like a late January, early February Kansas basketball team that wins the Big 12. Winning the right games, doing the right things. You know, there's a couple areas that we need to improve, but, you know, overall, I feel pretty good. This doesn't feel like a quote-unquote down year. As it did, you know, maybe, you know, 6 weeks ago after the Arizona State loss or after the Washington loss. It feels like a completely different team than that. And we can get into specific guys, and we will, but a lot of that has to do with Sviatoslav becoming a 24-point-a-game guy. Yeah. A lot of that has to do with being Malik Newman being a real player.
How about that?
Whereas in December, he wasn't much of anything. Was a ghost, and now he is the guy that we were promised. He's the guy that they said he would be. He's a guy who can get to the bucket. He's a guy who can make those threes, and you know what? Most importantly, he's a guy who looks like he's doing things in the flow of the Bill Self offense, and he didn't look like that for the longest time, probably until January 10th.
Yeah, he always looked uncomfortable. Like, what is my role? You know what I mean? Unfortunately, Vic kind of looks like that right now. It's like they switched jerseys, but. No, I'm with you. I think you're exactly right. I think Malik adds a completely different element to this team with him and Devontae and Svi playing close to their ceiling and Doak staying out of foul trouble. Like, this team's really good. Like, it's really good. And for the most part, those guys have done that. Now Doak's had some foul issues. Hopefully, you know, we can continue to protect him a little bit more, but those other three are playing fairly close to their ceiling, and that's taking into account Devontae not making any shots. I mean, he's still playing well. He's getting a lot of assists and filling up the box score, but I feel pretty good too, Andrew. I mean, that Oklahoma game, we should have won. I mean, we went down there to a good team, and really controlled the game in the second half. I mean, it's just kind of a fluke deal with Polka Doke, and we won that game. And this is, I mean, and then obviously we got through an A&M game. We went to K-State and crushed them, and probably our second or third toughest game left on our slate. Yeah, it's hard not to feel pretty good right now. So I'm with you. You talked about the Christmas break being Bill Self's, what do you call it, secret weapon?
The magic juice. The secret sauce.
I can't remember what it was.
Special stuff.
Whatever it was, I mean, you can't not think that that's the case, right? I mean, you look at this team and you look at the difference between here and December, and it's a much better team. It's a better team. And I think you got to give credit to the special sauce, right?
And, you know, it's not just winter break. I mean, it's winter break in the sense that they didn't start classes until, like, last week. But, you know, they had all that time to practice. I think Bill Self put more things in. You know, he put that zone defense in. He put more of these out-of-bounds plays in. He kind of got people defensively to where they needed to be competitive in the Big 12. So, you know, it's just really starting to round out. And, you know, I feel pretty good about this team. Looking at some bracketologies, we're put as a one or a two seed, which sounds incredible, you know, from where we were thinking, you know, just a few weeks ago. And, you know, it'll be what it is. I don't know if it'll end up being that way, but for this team to be at that level at this point is quite amazing, you know, going from what we saw, even from the Texas Tech game to what they are now. Let's talk about some guys specifically, and I want to talk about getting to the rim or finishing at the rim. Who do you think is the best finisher at the rim of the guys on our team?
Right now, I think that is Sviatoslav.
That is the correct answer. The correct answer should be Devontae Graham, but it's not.
No.
Svi is pretty good, is actually bordering on great at getting to the rim because he's not really that quick. But he's got his little moves. He knows his specific things. I think he knows how to manage his way through the lane, and it's kind of fun to watch him do that because he gets these kind of random hook shots, random things off the backboard coming from the side. So it's pretty fun to watch him. Malik's getting better. Malik's attacking a lot, but Devontae cannot finish. No left hand.
Yeah.
Zero left hand.
It's hard to watch him get in the paint. He can get there. Like he can get past his man but once he gets to the block, man, it's generally a turnover before he even gets a shot up. Like it feels like it didn't even get blocked anymore. So it feels like he gets there and just gets it stolen, just loses control or someone gets a hand on it. I agree with you. No left hand. What I want to see Devontae do more is get past his man, get, you know, 6 feet out and stop before getting into the trees and pull up for that little floater. Cause he's pretty good at it. Just a little 6 foot, you know, bloop shot that Frank got really good at, you know, toward the end of his career at Kansas. I think Devontae can do that shot. And I think it's a much higher percentage shot for him than trying to get all the way to the rim because he's just not doing it. Frankly, even him driving to pass, he's struggling to do. You know what I mean? Like even trying to get, once he gets down there and tries to look for the corner, they cut it off it just step in front of it. It just feels like it's not there. It may not be in his repertoire.
Right. He's got to stop driving and then trying to do some Michael Jordan stuff to get the ball to go in. Like it's not working. Got to try something else. Let's talk about what is working. That's Sviatoslav shooting threes. Last three games, he's got 22, 24, 24. He's now scored 20 or more points in 6 of 9 Big 12 games. Sviatoslav looking like a first-team All-Big 12er, maybe a draft pick.
Yeah, he made the absolute right decision to come back to Kansas because all of a sudden his body looks different. His game looks way different. And you got to respect him from the 3-point line. He's one of the, if not the best, one of the top 3 or 4 best shooters in the college basketball. And Andrew, because he's so good out there, I think that you have to respect it so much. And that's part of the reason why he is getting to the rim more. You know, think about it. He catches the ball and he's already made the decision whether he's going to shoot or drive. And the problem is the defender is not doesn't know which one yet. And so when he catches the ball, you have to, as a defender, respect that he can pull up on you because he's 6'7". He can get up and get above you quickly at that spot. He catches the ball and can rise immediately and shoot. So you have to be ready for that. And sometimes he goes, nope, I'm going to go around you. And so while they're getting prepared to put a hand in his face, he's already got his shoulders past him. So I've been really impressed with that part of his game. And I think a lot of that just frankly arises from his ability to make the outside shot and be one of the most proficient shooters of the three-pointer in college basketball.
I agree. Let's skip the Big 12 SEC thing for now.
Hang on, I want to talk about Graham.
Okay, go ahead. Talk about Graham. He's got some struggles.
Graham's got some problems right now. Now, here's the thing. He's actually still playing, I think, okay. Notwithstanding the drive thing that we were talking about and basically all of his two-pointers. But here's his last three games, Andrew. His last three games, 3-for-10, 2-for-11, and 4-for-19. That's 22% from the field. That's not very good. But then if you back it up all the way to the beginning of Big 12 play, Andrew, he's only shooting 34% from the field in Big 12 play. And that's very different from his other 3 years at Kansas. So it makes you wonder a little bit. We've talked about this some. Is he playing too much? Is 40 minutes a game catching up to him where he just doesn't have the legs to finish at the rim? He doesn't have the legs to get his shot off the way that he wants to. It makes you wonder a little bit, right?
It definitely makes you wonder a little bit. I'm not sure that's the answer, but I don't know.
I don't know either.
They were showing a statistic that, the plus minus of Devontae Graham being out in Big 12 play versus him being in, it's like minus 38 points. It's something outrageous, is that we just get absolutely dominated when he's not on the
court. He has to be on the court. I get it. I totally get it.
But I do understand that there are some offensive struggles. I mean, you see some of these numbers like 4-for-19, 5-for-12, 4-for-14, 6-for-16. These are not Devontae Graham numbers. These, and maybe he's trying to do too much offensively.
That can be it too.
Taking some of these threes that are, 3 or 4 or 5 feet outside of the 3-point line, not in the flow of the offense. That maybe you saw him do that a little bit, but maybe he needs to cut down on that. And really, it's a lot of it at the rim. A lot of it at the rim is where he's missing
his 2-point proficiency has to be like the worst in basketball. it hasn't been close to it.
We know that he can do it. We know that he's got that game. So, imagine Devontae suddenly starts to shoot at least, 50% from two. That just makes his team all that much more better because we're not getting that offensive rebound,
which is not that much to ask. Like 50% from two is not even like that amazing, especially when you're at the rim most of the time.
I think it's some fatigue, but some shot selection as well. Like I agree. Thinking that he needs to be the alpha, the leader of this team. But I think you can do that without, being Frank Mason. He's trying to be Frank Mason.
He looks like sophomore year Frank Mason, like getting to the rim and getting blocked.
He looks exactly like, Frank went through the same thing where he'd go to the bucket, except Frank kept going to the bucket and he learned how to finish.
And he learned how to get fouled too. Like that's the thing. He's not even getting to the foul line anymore. He had that little stretch. Remember, he went to the foul line for like 2 or 3 straight games. And that does take into account some of the, some of his game. He was still getting 16, 17, 18 points off, 4-of-10 shooting or 4-of-15 shooting. It's because he's getting to the line, but it just doesn't feel like he's getting to the line much either right now. Hopefully he gets it figured out, because if Graham, Svi, and Malik, as we talked about a minute ago, if those three are at or near their ceiling and Doak is not in foul trouble, we are a Final Four team. That is a Final Four squad. I mean, don't you think? I mean, that team is good enough. If those three are somewhat close to their ceiling, we're making shots, and Doak is in the game, that is a good-ass team.
Right. It could be. It's not one of these teams where you saw them against Washington, and you're like, wow, this team's going to lose in the first round. Right. Like, no, this team could go far if all those things happen.
Okay, now we can move on. Sorry, I wanted to get that one.
Okay, let's talk about Doak. and specifically Polkadoke.
Polkadoke.
And on the was it the last podcast? Yeah, the last podcast, I think.
Yep.
You wrote this down. I think you went back and listened. This is what we said about Polkadoke, Jenny.
Hang on, I need a beer for this one.
Okay. Oh, wow. Wow, that's loud.
Was it loud? I'm sorry. I apologize to your ears.
Well, yeah. Okay. Oh, silver bullet. Good choice.
Thank you.
All right. I'm gonna be you. And this will be, you wrote it out like kind of like a play.
Oh, okay.
You said, Polkadoke is coming back to haunt us. You know it will. You know it's going to come back in a game where it's tight late. I said, in a tight possession game with 1:30 left, he has to come off the floor. And then you said, he has to come off the floor.
That was
You can go back and listen to that.
We did. Those are exact words.
Let's run through what happened in the OU game.
Before the OU game.
Quickly. This is before the OU game.
Before the OU game, yes.
The first foul against Udoka happens at 3:37. There's another one at 3:11, another one at 2:53, another at 1:56. We end up losing the game by 5, even though we led throughout the second half. I'm not going to get too much onto Bill Self here because I think that he's already got too much of that. He's got his lumps.
He did.
The fans have their pound of flesh on that one, and I think he knows. But I will say this. I don't think it's irrational or unreasonable for him to make that decision.
I don't either.
He decided to go with his guy. He wanted to have confidence in his guy, but it didn't work.
If that was the reason, I completely agree with you. If that was his driving force, you know, behind the decision, thinking long term, playing the long game, he said that in post game. You have to take him at his word that that's why he did it. But part of me also believes that he was trying to flip a middle finger to Lon Kruger, doing a chicken shit move, fouling his guy and not playing basketball. And I think part of him, now he won't say this, but I think there's a legitimate, I think this is likely a big piece of why he did it, because he did not want to concede his game and concede a loss or concede because Lon decided to do that. I honestly think that that was as much or more of the reason why he left him in. Now he can afterwards say that, you know, I was doing it, trying to give my guy all the, you know, support he needed to trust him, that I want him to, you know, be there late next game or whatever it is. I hear you. But you see this all the time. People sub out for free throw shooters. Like, it happens all the time. It's not a knock on a guy to say, listen, guy, you have an amazing skill set at 5 or 6 things. One of those things is not free throw shooting. Like, that's okay. You're not going to ask Devontae to go guard Mo Bamba. It's not in his skill set. Like, it's fine to admit that. And there has been nothing at all to give you any confidence that Doak is ever going to be better than a 50% free throw shooter. Ever. And had he made his average, it would have been fine.
I'll say this. If he ever becomes a 60%, he's a top 5 draft pick.
Maybe. I don't know. But the point, you're exactly right, though. Like, the point is, he's not right now. And he's not even close to it. And maybe law of averages, obviously there's some variance involved in just shooting 6 free throws. Like, any 6 free throws, anything could happen. And if he makes just one of them, maybe it's a difference in the game. But he didn't. And, like, that was pretty clear after the second foul that the guy was shook in the brain and needed to come out. And he kept him in there. And that was frustrating. But anyway, I'm not going to, I agree with you. I'm not going to harp on Bill. I was pretty strong on Twitter. I think a lot of people obviously had takes on it. But my concern is not that he wanted to empower Doak, but that he was trying to flip a middle finger to Lon. And if that's the case, like, I think that's why he felt bad after the game, not because of what he did personally. I think he had remorse about, you know, trying to play hardball. Anybody?
Well, and it was a risk, and it didn't work out.
Didn't work.
It didn't work out. You know, another thing, another trend involving Udoka is this other thing that I think you've termed Tekadoke.
Tekadoke.
This is where Udoka is getting technical fouls after dunking on someone massively and then standing over them. He's gotten several of these this year, and I just want to go on the record. We don't have anything under this category.
I just wrote Tekadoke. I didn't even know if you knew what it was.
My take is I'm for it.
Me too.
Just it's worth it.
Tekadoke. I agree.
I'm actually a little disappointed it didn't happen in the K-State game.
Me too. I was thinking that same thing.
A little disappointed. He didn't play a
Higgins.
Lot. Yeah.
Higgins would call that on him.
He
would
have called that in a second.
Bill probably told him. He's like, hey, we got Johnny out there. No staring at anybody this game.
Yeah. Well, you know, in that Texas A&M game, after that happened, Doak sat for a long time.
He sat
for a long time.
You know what?
So well, I might like it. Bill Self might not like it.
I'm going to say this. I think he does like it.
I agree with you to a certain extent.
I think he does like
but it. But he took him – if he liked it, he wouldn't have taken him out for 10 minutes. It was a long time.
I think he loves it. I think he loves it.
Okay.
I think he probably has to make a point because you obviously don't want him to get teed up in a tournament game or something or, you know, with a one-possession game or, you know, whatever. But I bet inside, and probably he'd even tell him this behind doors, I love that you're fired up. I want to see more of that. Just hone that toward, you know, like celebrating with your teammates, right? Like that's rather than teabagging the guy. Again, I support it. I'm all for it. But yeah. Anyway, so Tekadoke, we'll see if that's a thing. Over under 3 technical fouls the rest of the year for Doak.
I'll go under.
Okay.
Because I think that they've I think he's got one more in him.
Oh,
I think he's
got more than one. I'll take the over on that. He's definitely got two. All right.
Moving on quickly. Big 12 SEC thing. Do you care?
No, I don't even want to talk about it. I'm bored with it already. It sucks that we didn't win.
Right, I'll point out this is the first time we've lost it.
5 years, right?
Started in 2014. This is the fifth year of it. We've won 3, tied 1, and this is the first time we've lost. You know, just a couple things to point out. You know, Alabama beat Oklahoma.
That was actually a really fun game. I actually really enjoyed that game.
You know, a couple other things. Who else lost that was surprising? Vanderbilt TCU. Did beat TCU.
Yeah, that was the killer. There's no reason why they should. In fact, that TCU kind of. I mean, it's silly to say this, but they kind of like need that game. They're
right.
You look at their resume; it's starting to go. And they're a good team. Like I don't really get it, but they got that good win against West Virginia. But that was kind of baffling. They needed that one.
Right. And otherwise, that Kentucky-West Virginia game was a great game where West Virginia went into a huge lead, and then Kentucky clawed its way back and got the win. So, you know, if those things go differently, this is like a 7-3 in favor of the Big 12. But
I still don't care.
Didn't go that way. Don't care. So we'll play A&M next year in College Station. Don't know if they're going to be any good. I think a couple of guys are going to go pro as far as I understand it. But, yeah, who knows? They're a pretty solid team, solid institution. So we'll see what happens.
I got one more thing.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Before we move on to like the next segment, we've been talking about Mitch needing some things to get like take his game to the next level.
I love Mitch.
I'm coming around on Mitch a little bit.
Good.
Mitch is it. Mitch is in right now. Like he's the Mitch end is thing. In. So we've been talking about how Mitch needs like an arm sleeve of tattoo. You know, he needs tattoos for sure. Like he needs that for sure. But he also needs a nickname. Like he needs a name. And I saw this on Twitter, and all the credit to Mike Vernon out there who said I could use it. he named him Martini Room Mitch.
Okay, from the Hawk.
From the Hawk. And I don't know the context. I don't even care for the context. But I want to call him Martini Room Mitch for the rest of his career at Kansas.
We want Mitch to have the confidence of a KU basketball player walking in to the Martini Room at the Hawk.
Nadir Tharp.
knowing yes, knowing that the world is yours.
Yep.
When you were a KU basketball player walking into the martini room, the world is yours.
Even a shitty confident. KU basketball player.
Right, right.
Even a walk-on doesn't
James
matter.
James Sosinski. I don't even know if his name is James.
I think it is. James. I think it is.
Walking into the martini room, that confidence, you can't ever duplicate that. Mm-mm. You will never be as cool as whatever descriptor
yep.
as you would be at that moment.
Yeah, there's no other place in town either that you can duplicate that. Like, that's the spot.
If you could bottle that confidence mm-hmm. and sell it, the person who would buy that would rule the world.
Yep, yep.
Would control the world.
So you picked up exactly where I was going with this.
Martini and Room Mitch. Martini Room Mitch. Confidence.
Yeah, and it's only going to be him. Like, it can't be anybody else because there's some alliteration there. And I actually like Martini Room being one word. But Martini Room Mitch going forward. It needs to be a hashtag, I think. Martini Room Mitch. Let's make this a thing. And credit to Mike Vernon is his deal. But I'm 100% stealing it and using it all the time.
Okay, Kevin, let's talk about the upcoming schedule pretty quickly before we get out of here. We've got Okie State at home on Saturday. I think that's another 11 o'clock game. What are these early games we're doing?
Oh, yeah.
Here in Allen Fieldhouse. So, you know, they've got Jeffrey Carroll. He's good. If he plays well, they're going to play well. If he doesn't play well, they're going to be not very good. They lost tonight to TCU at home. In front of a crowd of what looked like 300 people. There
was it really? Brutal. It
did not look great. They're not a great three-point shooting team, so maybe we'll see some zone. Maybe we'll get some Silvio some minutes, but, you know, it's one of those bottom Big 12 teams, but we've sort of seen that with Iowa State and Baylor, where we've kind of let these teams hang around. Hopefully this new-look KU team can keep them at bay, and we can walk away with an easy win. We then have another home game. We have TCU at home. TCU needs a couple big wins. We've already got a win in Fort Worth. This is the comeback game in Elm Fieldhouse. They need a win, so they're going to be looking to knock us off. They don't have Jalen Fisher, but they do have their other guy. I just forgot his name.
Yeah, what's his name?
Alex Robinson, who's just a capable point guard to fill in. It's lucky to have that. So we'll see about TCU. If they want to get in the tournament, they've got to pick up some wins against some big teams, and we're going to be on their radar. Then the next week we go to Baylor, and then we go to Iowa State. Both of those will be, you know, fairly difficult, especially the at Hilton Coliseum. That team is probably the bottom rung of the Big 12. We'll get to the power rankings. However, it's always tough to play at Hilton Coliseum. One guy to look out for is Lard. I can't remember his first name. Lard he's a forward. He's come on. Cameron Lard. Come on in the last couple weeks. Going to be a good player in the Big 12 for a long time. So you've got this Lindell Wigginton, a freshman, and Cameron Lard, a freshman for Iowa State. That'll be quite the tandem to tussle with the next several years up there in Ames, Iowa.
I think I'm going to go to that game.
That'll be fun.
I think I'm going to go up there. I'm going to make a work trip around a trip to Des Moines. Timing to happen to be there, which I have done, by the way, like the past 5 years. I always go to that game. And I usually go by myself, and I always have great stories from it. Like, something happens every single time I go. So hopefully that will happen again. Andrew, this is an interesting stretch because we have probably one of our easier little stretches of games here, right? On paper. Oklahoma State at home. I think Ken Palm's got us as a 12-point favorite. This is the largest projected win left on our schedule. Maybe we can get Silvio some minutes. That's what I'm looking for in that game. I want Silvio to play 10-plus minutes. You think it'll happen?
No.
Yeah, me neither. I hope it does, though, because it would be nice to get him some minutes. TCU at home, I think they're a much better team than their record, but hopefully we win that game. And then at Baylor, you know, whatever, it's going to always be interesting, but they're kind of struggling right now. And then at Iowa State. These are two of the tougher – I mean, two of the away games left are two of the lower teams on, you know, in the Big 12. So two games at home against teams that are in the bottom half, and then two games on the road against teams that are on the bottom half. You like to think that if they go 4-0 in a stretch like this, like, it is all the way locked up. But these are the games where people, other teams have lost, right? They go to Iowa State and lose. And if we can avoid that, which you've done a pretty good job of over the last, you know, 14 years, you know, we can really lock it up in the next week and a half. But would you take 3-1?
I think against these teams, you want 4-0.
I know. I do too.
I think the way this team's playing, they should go 4-0.
The good news about it is, if we lose to one of these teams, you're not giving up a win to, you know, one of the teams that are really competing for the league title. But still, yeah, you like to win all. I mean, you're favored in all of these. You should win them. Right. So we'll see. But interesting little stretch.
Okay, Kevin. Let's move on and let's just go straight into it. Go Power Rankers. Let's do it.
Andrew, we haven't done that drop in a long time. You kind of caught me off guard by saying go Power Rankers, and then you expect me to find it quickly.
Yep.
And,
yep. That's what I expect.
That's this is what you get.
Greatness.
I could go edit it and kind of cut off that 3-second gap, but I'm not going to. I'm sorry. Andrew, I want to hear your go Power Ranks. Or we can talk through it together. What do you want to do?
Let's talk through it together, but I'll lead the discussion. Okay. I think you go KU number one. Mm-hmm. Then you've got, you know, conversation. You know, before last night's game, you had a bunch of teams tied for second, and that included Texas Tech, West Virginia, Oklahoma, and K-State. But I'm going to put Texas Tech number two. But I think you can make a credible case for West Virginia.
Yep.
You can make a credible case for OU.
I don't think so.
I think it's two or three. But I'm keeping Texas Tech at two. They've both lost a bunch of games. Like, West Virginia's lost 4 of 5, and I think Texas Tech is 3-3 in the past six. So they're not on a roll. Neither team is on a roll.
Nope.
But I think just in terms of who they've beaten, obviously Texas Tech has a at KU win, which I think puts them just resume wise, you know, pretty far above.
They've got the best win on the.
Right.
Everybody.
And West Virginia has been struggling. So I think just in terms of how good I think the teams are, I think you go KU, Texas Tech, West Virginia, and then OU. But those three teams are really close. And obviously we saw that down at Stillwater with the Sooners stealing a win against KU.
Hang on a second. Before you go on, I think that there's really only one argument here. I think Tech and West Virginia right now, I'll take any order of 2-3. But I think Oklahoma right now is fourth. I think you're looking at everything. You're looking at the way they're playing.
I'm saying they're fourth, too. Yeah, I'm saying they're fourth, too. But I think that they're really close to those two.
I'll accept any of those. And I think it's pretty obvious who's fifth, too. But I'm not sure who's 2-3.
Okay, you're saying it's obvious that it's K-State at 5?
Yep. But
okay, I don't know if it's obvious.
I think Texas to be considered.
Right. And I think that next group is K-State, Texas, and TCU. TCU just doesn't have the wins to be up there.
Yep.
You know, in terms of if you think they're good or think they're better than K-State, you know, the record doesn't say that. Same with Texas. So, you know, K-State probably has earned the right to be considered fifth. And then Texas, TCU, you know, those two teams are in my head occupy the same space. They're about the same. I think if they peak, TCU is a better team. Maybe Texas has the better overall players.
Oh, for sure.
So it just depends on how it works, right? Player, how it works out on a given night. Now, it looks like, I mean, TCU has lost to Texas. That was in a 2-overtime game.
Yeah.
In Austin. So, I mean, they're pretty close. They're pretty close together. So I'll go K-State, Texas, TCU.
I agree with that. I think that Texas is the one to watch, though, right? If Mo Bamba's playing as well as he has the last two games, where he's averaged over, whatever, 24, 25 points, double-digit rebounds, blocking five shots a game, like, if he's able to start actually doing that and not just impacting the game defensively and rebounding, but starting to score, that team rises up a little bit, and they could beat anybody. I'm really glad that we played Texas at Texas early, because he's starting to figure it out, and that's scary, because if he figures it out, he's one of the best, if not, I mean, highest ceiling players in the Big 12, higher than Trae Young. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting to watch, but no, I'm with you on the rankings.
And then the bottom three, we have kind of order of Oklahoma State, Baylor, and Iowa State. I think I probably go Baylor, Oklahoma State, Iowa State.
I'll entertain Baylor and Oklahoma State in any order. I think Iowa State's last.
You know what? And that makes it seem like Iowa State's a terrible team. I don't think Iowa State's a terrible team.
I don't either. I think they can beat anybody. They beat the crap out of Tech. You just said they're the second best team.
Right. And so I think that, you know, Iowa State kind of occupies that space of, they're kind of like Oklahoma last year. Like, Oklahoma finished, what, 9th or 10th? But, you know, they had those young guys you could see being very good in the future. Now, obviously, Oklahoma is good for a different reason because of Trae Young this year. But if they didn't have Trae Young, you'd have seen would have seen some of these other guys step up. I don't think they'd be as good as they are now, but they'd be pretty good.
I agree.
So, you know, Iowa State, you're 10th, but, you know, coming along.
Does KU? I've been seeing this on Twitter and people talking about it on talk radio and stuff, and drives me insane. But let's discuss it for a second. Does KU have this quote wrapped up?
No.
I don't think so either. And I hate it when people say that.
No, you know what? KU fans are not superstitious until they are. And I think that when KU fans aren't going to ever say that out loud, or I think the majority of them will never say that out loud. It's the other people, like the radio hosts, like, oh, Kevin Kiesman, oh, KU's got this wrapped up. But I don't think a KU fan, a real KU fan, would ever say that out loud until it's wrapped up.
I agree with you.
And I don't rational think it fans, is.
Even rational ones that look at everything, you know, the numbers, and try to really understand the teams. Sure, you can say they're the obvious favorite, and you look at the numbers, and you look at the current standings. Of course they are. They're in a great position. They are 7-2 with 4 freaking wins on the road. And they've played most of their toughest teams already on the road. That's already done. KenPom has us finishing 2 games ahead of everybody. But, you know, it's not done yet. Things can happen. This league is good. We can lose to Iowa State at any time. You know, we still got West Virginia and OU at home. And another team can get hot. I mean, you can't tell me that OU couldn't all of a sudden go bonkers and just go bananas and get hot. West Virginia could reel off 5 or 6 in a row. Like, it could happen, right? So I'm not willing to say that it is wrapped up. But I will say this. If we win our next 4, I think it's going to be tough not to be wrapped up at that point.
We'll be in a good spot. Because there's going to be some guys who you know, beat up on each other. Now, a team like Texas Tech could win the next 4 too. Sure. You know, we don't play them.
Right.
We don't play them until the end. So, like, another team could separate themselves and, you know, be that team at the end.
Yeah, here's Texas Tech's next 4, by the way. Texas, TCU, Iowa State, K-State. No one on that list scares you too much, right? I mean, Texas at home. They get TCU on the road, so that could be tough. But Iowa State at home, and then K-State on the road, who knows, right? So those aren't exactly the toughest games either. They could win 4 in a row too. I'm with you. But yeah, the point is, it's not wrapped up. We're obviously in a great spot.
Okay, Kevin, it's that time.
Uh-oh. Gotta ring up the Salty Iguana, call Brian Haney, and got some questions for Bill.
We have some questions for Bill. You want to go first?
Sure. I'll go first. Hey, Bill, I know people be talking about Doke shooting underhand like a granny style, whatnot. But what about shooting it uncle style instead? See, I ain't got no granny no more, so I can't relate. But my uncle, he does a lot of shooting. Now, he's mostly shooting Mississippi moonshine, but I reckon his advice back when I was a little kid, he said, was don't think, just shoot. And then he just drank a lot. Can we use that same advice?
Hey, Bill, I have a couple questions that I want you to pass along to Andrea Hoodie. Has she had those nacho fries from Taco Bell? I just want to know if those are approved, but have the Andrea Hoodie stamp of approval. I'm trying to get in better shape, trying to make a run on my rec league. A couple other things that I have on my get going diet, those spicy ghost pepper wings from Popeyes, the Monster Hydro Tropical Thunder energy drink. And this is the good one. This is what I think really gets me going on the court. KFC's Smoky Mountain Barbecue Chicken. So if you could just pass that along to Andrea Hitty, I'd appreciate that, Bill.
Hey, Bill, I was watching that movie, The Patriot, with Mel Gibson. I love me some Mel, Bill. Anywho, remember when he was training his kids to shoot, kept saying, aim small, miss small? I guess my question is, you ever seen that movie? And can you show it to Doke to maybe help him with his free throws?
Doke, just aim small.
Aim small, aim small.
Aim small.
Mel Gibson, though. Mel.
Hey, Bill, where does Legere get his hair done? Don't let anyone tell you that he needs to cut it. I think it is beautiful. I'm just trying to test things out, see if it'll work for me, though. Thanks. I'll listen off the air.
Hey, Bill. You ever consider letting Doke try to dunk it from the free throw line?
Hey, Bill, what's the concussion protocol like for Mitchell? My nephew hit his head while playing triple jump, and he's probably not going to be able to drive a car in the future. He seems okay to me, but how's Mitchell?
Hey, Bill, now I may or may not have this been the fellow, though, that knocking on McCarthy Hall's doors to help Doke out with his free throws. But if it was me, all I was there to do was to give him my lucky rabbit's foot I found last week down by the river. Figured he could wear it around his neck shooting free throws. I know you got a thing about how they can't wear the shooting sleeve or they can't wear the headband unless they wear it in practice. Would you allow him, number one, to wear it in practice around his neck? And number two, y'all think the NCAA would let him do that during a game?
I don't know. I'm done. You have one more.
That's all I have.
You're good?
That was it.
You're good.
That's
it. Don't you have a... Okay, right. Okay. You know, one thing we didn't talk about is the guy who went to the dorm to tell them free throw advice. We got a lot of tweets saying, like, was that you guys? Was that Stat Boy? My only thought is maybe they should have listened.
I mean, that's a fair question. Maybe he knew what he was talking about.
If he's going to put that much effort into
exactly.
It.
Give him the time of day.
He might know what he's talking about.
Give him the time of day. Why not try? At this point, why try something?
Anything would
happen. What's the worst that could happen? The guy is crazy? I mean, yeah, but you're still dope. You're 7 feet tall. You could take him.
The worst that could happen has already happened.
That's a good point.
Could only go up from here.
Whoever that guy is,
reach out with an email next time, and let's just encourage Bill Self to respond to that email.
I agree. I completely agree. Listen, Twitter, you can't reach people anymore. You just block them, or they don't listen to you. You can't DM them, because they don't follow you. So the old way was you just show up on their doorstep, right? That's the old fashioned way.
Show up on their doorstep and loudly demand to be heard.
It's basically like Twitter.
Threat to call the police.
It's like Twitter, but it's real life. I mean, that's basically what it is. Well, there you go. Hopefully we've got a great week ahead of us. Maybe, two home games, feeling good about that. A couple games on the road that potentially winnable. Not gonna go crazy here, but this is a nice little stretch, hopefully, for Jayhawks. And we will see what happens. But until next time, for Andrew, I am Kevin, and thank you for listening to Jayhawk Talk. Later. rock job.
I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the
fans. Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering. All them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get the cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.